Hello and welcome to Bears Wire, your one-stop shop for all things Chicago Bears on the USA Today Sports Network. I'm Lauren Cox and I'm here with Phil Atoshin and Bears Wire managing editor Brian Perez. And the Chicago Bears released their first unofficial depth chart of the preseason in advance of their first preseason game against the Denver Broncos this week. And it had a few surprises on it up and down the roster. Phil, what stood out to you the most when you saw the depth chart that came out?
Well, the first thing that stands out is the guy in parentheses, Pernell McPhee, starting outside linebacker, injured. When's the timetable coming? And a direct caveat from that is two steps behind him, third string, your first round pick you traded up for, Leonard Floyd, sitting back in third string. And then before we get into the depth of this depth chart, Mark Mariani, kick returner, Deontay Thompson, punt returner. I don't know if that's a misprint or is that the reality of what's going on, because I would flip-flop those two, and I don't normally flip-flop, but in this case, I would, Lauren. Those things surprise me, as well as I think everything else kind of situates itself where I saw it going. So those are my three surprises.
Yeah, the Mariani Thompson thing is definitely something that caught my eye too, because when I was at training camp, Mariani was the first punt returner, and I didn't see Deontay Thompson do any punt returning at all in the 3 days I was there, and he was the primary kickoff returner the whole time, and Mariani did kickoff returns too, and he was in the rotation, but that's certainly strange to see, and it would be hard to imagine the Bears putting a typo in their depth chart, because you'd think people would look at that over and over again, and John Fox would give it his triple stamp of approval, and every coach would give it the thumbs up. But Deontay Thompson's never been a punt returner, and that doesn't seem right. But Brian, is there anything else that jumps out to you on this depth chart when you look at it?
I think the depth chart is pretty much chalk at this point. There's no real surprises with the starting lineup. When you get to the depth of the roster and who's kind of, you know, listed right now as a second or third stringer, I'm pretty surprised that Jordan Howard is fourth on the running back depth chart. I mean, he's a rookie, so it is commonplace for rookies to have to earn their stripes through preseason. But for him to be behind Jaquizz Rodgers, I'm not the biggest Rodgers fan. I think he's going to struggle to make the final 53 when it's all said and done. And for Howard to be kind of buried with Snorris Perry at the very back end of the depth chart, that's pretty surprising to me. And I think staying at the same position, you know, it's promising to see Kadeem Carey sitting there as the primary backup and holding off the competition of Rodgers and Howard. I think he's going to be a real fun player to watch in preseason if he really gets rolling. You know, Jeremy Langford's days as a starter could be not necessarily numbered, but he's going to have to play lights out to maintain that job. And when you look at the outside linebacker spot, I'm not too concerned that Leonard Floyd right now is listed as a third. Again, like the Jordan Howard statement from before, you know, rookies generally aren't given starting jobs right out of the gate. But the other part of this that plays into the Floyd issue is there's just so much talent at outside linebacker. You know, somebody has to be third. And, you know, even if he stays in this position come opening day, you know, he's going to be on the field in pass rushing situations, which is pretty much what he's expected to contribute this year anyway. So I'm not too worried about him. I am pretty excited to see that they do have Kevin White as a starter. I know that sounds pretty crazy, but the fact that the guy missed his entire rookie season, he's had an up and down training camp according to all reports. But it just goes to show the level of confidence they have in him. And it's a statement that they're making with him, you know, opening up as a starter in the first depth chart, that they expect really big things from him this year.
Well, and you look at this rookie class, I mean, obviously Floyd, third string with the outside linebackers, and then Cody Whitehair, the second round pick, he's starting at left guard, and that's been his job the entire training camp, and that seems to be the same moving forward. Then you look down, Jonathan Bullard, the third round pick, he's with the second string on the defensive line, and some expect him to continue to push and work his way up and potentially into the starting lineup, because Mitch Unrein right now is listed as your starting defensive end opposite Akeem Hicks, and not a lot of people really expect him to be able to hold that down, because he's always kind of been a serviceable journeyman level guy that kind of rotates in. But you never know if he's starting to take a few steps forward in his career. And then, you know, moving down with the three fourth round picks, obviously Nick Kwiatkowski, he's been injured at camp, so he's at the third string inside linebackers. And then you've got Deion Bush, the fourth round pick safety out of Miami, and he's with the second string safeties, and he's right up in there with the competition with Harold Jones Korte. It's kind of interesting to see how that's going to play out. And then, of course, DeAndre Hall, the fourth round corner, he's with the third string on the cornerbacks behind a guy I'm a big fan of, Devontae Bousby, on the depth chart, a former undrafted free agent out of a really small school in Kansas, Pittsburgh State. He spent last offseason with the Chiefs and ended up getting hurt and couldn't play all season. The Bears picked him up and put him on the futures contract, and he's really been standing out and impressing with the second team, and I'm really curious to see how he plays in these preseason games. Brian, is there anybody on this team that you're really looking forward to specifically to see in these preseason games to see how they're going to move up and down this depth chart?
Well, I think Bows, starting right where you ended with Bousby, is a guy who's, it's just, he's a great story to follow. You know, he came from a real small school, but he's got the size you want from an NFL corner. And he just suffered an unfortunate injury in OTAs last year with the broken collarbone, and it really just derailed whatever rookie season he could have had. But from a size and length standpoint, he's exactly what you want from the modern era NFL corner. And let's face it, Kyle Fuller, if he wasn't a first-round pick and he wasn't such a high investment that the team made, his job would be on shaky ground at this point. And Bousby could be a guy where if he has a phenomenal preseason, you never know. Fuller's going to get the benefit of the doubt. He's going to open the season as a starter. But if Bousby proves to be a playmaker, both against the pass and run, you know, he could definitely see more action on game day than anyone could have ever imagined. And it kind of compares favorably to Harold Jones Korte, a guy who, here we are at the first depth chart of 2016, and he's a starting safety. When the Bears added him last year, no one would have predicted that he would be in this position starting year two with the team. And Bousby kind of seems like he could have that same kind of storyline coming through the preseason. And obviously, going back to Kevin White again, I just can't wait to see the guy line up for his first snap with the Bears. It's the thing I'm looking forward to the most because I was so high on him for the draft in 2015. He was my second highest graded player in the entire class. So I'm just excited to finally see what the Bears have in him, you know, starting this week against Denver.
I really recognize that there's some Kyle Fuller shaky ground. So Brian and Lauren, you're really onto something in this situation because as Brian expertly broke down the length and the ability of that dog that wants to get the opportunity. He got injured. Now he's from this small school battling on. Perfect example is Harold Jones Korte. Another excellent job. Not that I'm kissing your you know what here, but you broke it down perfectly. The one thing I, on top of Brian, want to talk about is another rookie that Lauren failed to talk about, my buddy Daniel Braverman, the slot receiver that probably has made the most noise as far as rookies are concerned throughout training camp. Each and every day, he's consistently made a catch, a play, a wow-type play, and there's no stopping what this kid could bring to the table. He also can kick and punt return. And let's face it, much like Kyle Fuller, Eddie Royal, he's in the concussion protocol. What's the opportunity? What are the chances of him being obsolete or a trade piece to somebody else if he gets healthy when you have Mariani and Daniel Braverman? I don't think you can let Daniel Braverman go, guys. I really think that this guy has solidified. I know the games haven't been played yet, but there's too much showcase of what he can do, and I'm excited, like Brian is, to see this guy put on the display that I believe he's going to showcase when it comes to game time. So looking at that kid and what is going on with him is going to be exciting. And then the last piece is this Tony Moiaki. You know, is he moving up the depth chart? Zach Miller obviously is going to be your starter. If those health concerns, Brian, that we talked about all offseason, guy is uber talented. He's always been. You saw it in the Rams game. You saw it in the Chargers game. And when given the opportunity, he stepped up. Kari Lee, second string there, is a kind of a surprise to me. I don't know if they're just throwing it out there as he's the backup because he blocks, or is that really where he really stands on the depth chart? And then Tony Moiaki, who by all accounts has stepped up in camp and shown new life. So he and Kari Lee are going to be players to watch come Thursday night when the Bears take on the Denver Broncos, because that position is one that's in flux.
But, you know, sometimes guys with have familiarity with the program have kind of been around a little longer. You know, Tony Moyaki was just added right before camp. You know, Ben Bronecker is an undrafted free agent who's been banged up as of late. You know, Scruggs is making a position change. Hausler's a guy that was added late last season. So, you know, it could be also just a little bit of a bone thrown to these guys early in the depth chart formation. But, you know, the scary thing, to be quite honest, is when you really break down the tight end group, it's a steep cliff after Zach Miller. And when you go down even to some of the rookies, Lauren, that you mentioned, like Deion Bush being second on the depth chart and Bullard being second on the depth chart, hopefully that's representative of their talent. But it also is indicative of the lack of depth and the lack of a clear, talented group where you have two rookies who are, you know, third and fourth round picks, respectively, already being listed as primary backups at two pretty important positions.
Brian, just looking at the tight ends as you're talking about them, one guy that stands out to me as we're going through this depth chart, and believe me, it's before the preseason games have been played, is Rob Hausler, who the Bears picked up in the middle of the season last year, came in, showcased the kind of athleticism that you want to see from a tight end. It's someone that could move and block. He's similar in size and athleticism to Zach Miller. Are you surprised he's so far down on the tight end list?
Not really. You know, Hausler is one of those guys who's always been more of a projection than a productive player in the league. I mean, he did have his moments early in his career, but much like Miller had to deal with before he came to Chicago, and he's got to prove he can stay healthy before anything's really given to him. If he flashes in the preseason and he manages to stay healthy throughout the next 4 weeks, then I think you'll see him slowly rise up the depth chart. Ultimately, the depth chart probably should end up getting settled at, you know, Miller as a starter, Moyaki, Hausler as the primary backups, and then seeing how it shakes down with Kari Lee and the other guys. But from a just from a pure pass catching standpoint, you know, Hausler offers almost as much upside as a guy like Zach Miller, but, you know, you just don't know how long he'll be able to stay on the field. So, and again, this is worth reminding all the listeners and readers of Bears Wire. It is only the first depth chart. It really has almost no meaning. When you get into the second and third week of the preseason, it's gonna look a lot different than it does right now. So a guy like Hausler, if he has a big performance against Denver in a couple of days, you know, he's gonna leapfrog some of the guys that he's currently behind. So we'll see how it ends up playing out a few weeks from now.
So don't you think then that this is more of a motivational tool, so to speak, to the guys? I'm sending a message out to the locker room. I know when I coached, this is exactly what we would do. Put their names in front of them all. And then you decide by performance when the games are going to begin where you are going to be on the depth chart. This is how we see it now. I'm challenging you. Is that what you think the motivation is, guys, with John Fox's first depth chart?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I think, you know, on the other end of that, you know, if you have to use a depth chart to motivate a veteran like Rob Hausler, then that probably says enough about his long-term potential for the team. It's a tricky thing to analyze at this point in the game because, you know, in theory, Hausler's listed last in the other column on the Bears depth chart. But really, there's only three spots that are clearly identified by the team: first, second, third string, Miller, Lee, Moyaki. Hausler could very easily leapfrog Scruggs by Thursday night. He could very easily leapfrog Moyaki by Tuesday afternoon of next week. And he could very easily leapfrog Kari Lee by the time the next preseason game rolls around. So, yes, motivation is part of it, but I think that's more relevant when you're looking at some younger guys, you know, a Jordan Howard, for example, you know, Daniel Braverman as an example, guys that still haven't earned their stripes as players who have proven they can play on Sundays. Rob Hausler has proven that he can play on Sundays in the fall for an NFL offense. If a depth chart is needed to get him, his mind right to where he's competing at a better level than he's doing right now, then he's not going to make this roster. And I just think it's a matter of, you know, Scruggs, Sinclair, Bronecker, Hausler, you're all kind of one in the same right now. Somebody's got to rise to the occasion as we go through preseason.
Well, and one of those guys that always seems to rise to the occasion in preseason, at least when the game actually comes on, is David Fales, who's sitting at the third-string quarterback on the depth chart. And right behind him now is Connor Shaw, the newcomer this offseason from the Cleveland Browns. You know, when they get to Denver, they're not going to have enough playing time to go around for four quarterbacks. And, I mean, obviously Jay's not going to play much because it's the first preseason game, but you kind of feel like this is coming up on Connor Shaw's last chance here because there's, you know, they're just not going to be a ton of game snaps for him. And Fales is a guy that has put together some good preseason games, but doesn't seem to be able to always put it all together at practice. So, I mean, how do you feel about the way the bottom of this quarterback depth chart is playing out right now behind Brian Hoyer?
Well, I would say the analysis that you had in terms of kind of that last chance philosophy applies more to Fales than Shaw at this point. You know, the team already knows for the most part what they have in Fales from a practice player and preseason player standpoint. Connor Shaw is new to the team. He's a guy that they clearly were interested in, and they were aggressive in making sure they claimed him when he was released. He's a guy who actually has NFL Sunday starting experience, even though it's one game. It's one game more than David Fales has played when the bullets have flown, you know, are flying for real. I think Fales needs a big preseason to make the team, as does Shaw. But the real sneaky storyline here is how safe is Brian Hoyer? I mean, if David Fales and Connor Shaw, you know, show some real upside in the preseason, when you're building a franchise and you're building a team knowing that Jay Cutler, you know, he's still in his prime years, but he's not the youngest quarterback in the NFL. He's in his 11th season now. Is it better to keep two young guys that show promise versus Brian Hoyer, who's already hit his ceiling as an NFL player? He's a very valuable veteran backup, which would be the argument to keep him around. If Jay Cutler again gets hurt for one or two games this year, you'd feel a lot more confident sending Hoyer out there versus Fales or Shaw. But from a team building standpoint, you know, if Fales and Shaw both look really good in the preseason and Hoyer is just Brian Hoyer in the preseason, it's not a slam dunk that Hoyer ends up being the team's backup. You could very easily see Jay Cutler as the starter, Fales as the primary backup, with Shaw as the three. And even if it doesn't shake down that way, I think the best case scenario for a Bears fan would be for all four quarterbacks to look really good in preseason and for the Bears to be able to stash either Fales or Shaw on the practice squad.
I'm in complete agreement with Brian. I think in all actuality, me and Lauren have talked about this, and I think Brian Hoyer is the key ingredient here to see how he actually performs versus David Fales and Shaw. A three-man, three-headed monster battling it out. I don't think Brian Hoyer's safe. I think Shaw has experience with Dow Loggins from his Cleveland days, thus the claim, thus the aggressiveness, having an understanding of what they want to do philosophically. And then you have David Fales, who seems to always just have this silky smooth ability to deliver accurate and timely passes when the game are played. Some guys are not great practice players, Lauren and Brian. Some guys are great gamers. And that's what I feel like David Fales has. And I think this is it for David Fales. It's either this preseason is going to showcase that you are going to be the definitive backup and you're going to just bounce Brian Hoyer, or you're going to be bounced yourself. And I think Connor Shaw is kind of in the same boat here too. And I know it's kind of a run-of-the-mill answer or feeling, but it is two horses versus one in Brian Hoyer. Are we going to go with the old man that, you know, kind of has shown signs? And there was a point when he was in Cleveland where he was the showcase of, he was turning a page, you know, and then he took off on a run play and slid and kind of got twisted up in there and his knee was hurt. And that was the end of Brian Hoyer's showcase. And then he went to last year with the Texans and he's in the playoffs and he absolutely bombed. I mean, it was a bomb, a stink bomb in a movie theater. Everyone was running out of there. So who is Brian Hoyer with the Bears. That's going to be interesting to see. If, just like Brian said, if he just dinks and dunks and doesn't show fluidity in the pocket or what it is that's going to be necessary to back up Cutler. And I think David Fales, you know, steps up. That'll be a great thing to see, the young player and a developmental quarterback be here behind Cutler.
And, you know, Fales and Shaw, when they were coming out as draft prospects, a year apart from one another, but their general grade and evaluation was pretty close. I mean, they weren't – it's not like David Fales was a second-round guy and Connor Shaw was an undrafted free agent. And, you know, it would be an upset if Shaw beats out Fales for the third spot on the roster. They're similar guys in pedigree. They have different styles, different, you know, positional skills. But in terms of the overall projection of what their NFL career and its absolute max upside would be, they're not all that different. So, you know, the Bears have two young guys there that, you know, one of them should rise to the occasion. I mean, one of them is going to make the team. There's obviously no doubt about that. Mathematically, one of them is going to make the team. The question is, will both of them? And, you know, from a, you know, traditional Bears fan perspective, it seems like this team is always cursed with an injury at quarterback or subpar play at quarterback and, you know, predating the Jay Cutler era with Jay Cutler, just untimely injuries or unfortunate situations that take place. So you'd like the security that a Brian Hoyer at backup at least seems to bring on paper. But from a long-term projection of a roster's development, you know, if Fales and Shaw both looked the part, there's no way, if they both have great preseasons, there's no way that, you know, the Bears are going to be able to hide one of them on the practice squad. It'll be a lot easier to cut Brian Hoyer and then maybe re-sign him 2 or 3 weeks into the season because he's out of work versus getting rid of Fales or Shaw at the final 53 cutdown and hoping they could stick around for the practice squad. It's going to be a real chess game for Ryan Pace to play at that final cut mark if Fales and Shaw do enough in preseason to make it a very difficult decision for him.
A lot of eyes are going to be on those quarterbacks competing for the backup spots, and a lot of eyes are going to be on the guys they're handing it off to in the backfield, too. I mean, obviously, the running back competition is a tight one. No one's really been named the quote-unquote starter, and all indications are sort of a running back by committee with the hot hand is the phrase that's being put around with these guys. So what do you guys think we need to see from the running backs to determine who's going to be the starter? I mean, what should fans be looking for out of these guys to say, okay, this guy's going to step up and be the starter? I mean, obviously, Jeremy Langford, he's the quote-unquote incumbent, but of the group, it seems like Kadeem Carey and Jaquiz Rodgers are both right in there with those first-team reps at practice. So what do we need to see from these running backs to sort of help one differentiate themselves as the starter?
Well, it's going to be a clear give to the running back kind of philosophy, it seems like, this preseason, and to see what they do with the ball in the hand. You know, who is that dynamic runner that's going to move the change, set the tone, and quoting John Fox, to run it down their throats and essentially break their spirit, and, you know, your opposing team's spirit. That's what they're trying to do, is establish and find that guy that can do multiple things, blitz pickup, catch the football. But ultimately, when you talk about running backs, it all comes back to what they do when the ball's in their hand. And I think Jeremy Langford's speed has been talked about countlessly, and his ability to catch the ball. However, the ability to catch the ball seems to be one of his problem sources and problem situations where he drops the ball. They talked about it today. They was at practice. He dropped the pass, it bounced off his hands, went into the air, and Harold Jones-Corte intercepted it. We saw a big play that I remember last year against San Diego coming across, Green Bay rather, coming across the middle. It would have been a huge game for the Bears in a close game. He drops an easy catch. We saw that kind of stuff. On the other hand, Kadeem Carey labeled that he can't catch. Every time he's had an opportunity to put his hands on a football to catch it, he does catch it, and he even scored a touchdown receiving. So the manipulation of what's going to happen, I believe Kadeem Carey has a lot to say about this starting position. You see them both 1-2. I agree with Brian. However, I think Jaquiz Rodgers brings a lot to special teams and physicality and short yardage situations, and I just don't know if they're going to keep four backs or they're going to keep more receivers. I think that's an area, because Jordan Howard is an investment, a size guy. somebody that fits the mantra of what Dalagas wants to do behind a fullback. You see two of them on the roster, and Young and Lasique. You look at that position too, Brian and Lauren, and now you're seeing a kind of a semblance of, you know what, we're going to run the football, and we're going to do exactly what John Fox was saying, and I think this position is going to iron itself out when the actual lights come on and physical tacklers, you know, all these beat reporters standing by a tent, not watching game, you know, watching practice, are just seeing cheers from a crowd when nobody's going live. However, when you're playing an opponent and they're live, you know, that's where you get the truest assessment of who can play in this league and what they're going to be and who stands out as the best. And I think, you know, this is going to be a great showcase. The original depth chart Thursday night versus the Broncos going up against the best defense last year. We saw Kadeem Carey and Jeremy Langford, Brian, start in that game. And Kadeem Carey was getting a rhythm against the number one defense, as he talked with me and Lauren about four Bears wire. And he got, unfortunately, took a cheap shot by Ward, got knocked out and concussed, and he was out of the game, and Langford ended up carrying the rest of the game. But you saw that these guys have the talent last year. It's not like they're rookies. We don't know. The only one is Jordan Howard.
You know, what I'm going to be watching this preseason from the running back position, I mean, one thing we know for sure is all these guys can run the football. You know, Jeremy Langford can run the ball. You know, Kadeem Carey can do it. Jordan Howard proved during his college career that he's a thumper between the tackles. Even Jaquizz Rodgers has the ability to make a play from time to time. I think what's going to ultimately separate these guys in preseason is their ability in pass protection. And we're going to see if any of these guys is getting their quarterback killed because they can't pick up the blitz quick enough or they're not strong enough to anchor against the pass rusher. It's going to drop them down the depth chart. So, you know, for every 15-yard run that Jeremy Langford breaks, for every, you know, burst up the middle that Kadeem Carey rips off, if any of these guys are proving to be a liability in pass protection, you're going to see that ultimately, in my opinion, break the tie at the top of the depth chart. Each of these guys has a unique skill set as a runner. You know, Jeremy Langford's the home run hitter. He can get it done outside the tackles. He's got to prove he can get it done between the tackles. Kadeem Carey, you know, maybe doesn't have the most juice of the running backs on the team, but he's probably the most well-rounded runner. He'll lower his shoulder, deliver the boom. He's an underrated athlete in the open field, but he's not a wow guy in that department. Jordan Howard is the most powerful of them all. His running backs coach came out this week and said he's quicker than he imagined, but some of the clips you see from training camp, you know, it doesn't look like he's the fleetest of foot, you know, in terms of runners that play in the NFL level. So they all bring a little bit of something different to the position. But the guy who's able to keep Jay Cutler upright, the guy who's not going to expose him to some blindside rib-breaking hit, is the guy who's going to be on the field the most. And in preseason, you know, it's not about guys ripping 5 yards a carry or you know, running the 21-yard touchdown run in, because those guys are going to be able to do that on Sundays. That's what running backs do. That's what they get paid for. It's the guys that shows they can be the most consistent as a pass protector, to the guy that shows they won't be a liability to the offense, and a guy that shows that it's not going to be Brian Hoyer or David Fales or Connor Shaw starting a game for the Bears because of their missed assignment in a blitz pickup. So I think, you know, for Bears fans that are watching the game, you know, try to forget about the box score. Try to forget about the yards after contact. Try to forget about the touchdowns. Take a look at what these guys do with the smaller aspects of the game. You know, in pass protection. You know, even selling a play action. How are they running routes when they're called upon as a receiver? Because that brings the offense together in a much bigger picture level. And that's what the coaches are going to be watching when they're studying the preseason tape, especially at positions that are contested like running back. So if you see Jeremy Langford, you know, carry the ball 6 times for 40 yards in the preseason, but he lets, you know, Jay Cutler take an unnecessary hit or two, his 6 carries for 40 yards are going to be forgotten about real quick. If Jordan Howard runs the ball 6 times for 19 yards, but he's stonewalling blitzers and keeping his quarterback upright, that's going to go a long way into getting him reps come game day in September. So, you know, I would emphasize keeping a close eye on those little aspects of the running back position that box scores don't tend to reveal. to the fan that checks out the stats after the fact. And at running back, it's a stats driven position. So sometimes you think that the guy that's producing the most per carry is the guy that's going to get the job, but it goes much deeper than that, especially when you have a battle with Langford, Carey, Howard, and even Rodgers. You know, where, to be honest, any of those guys that are getting the ball 20 times a game, they'll get 80, 85 yards. They're going to be productive, but it's the guy that can make sure that our franchise quarterback doesn't get taken off the field on a cart. That's the guy that's going to be starting come Sunday against the Houston Texans.
I think you made a great point. I think the action fake carryout is something you really got to watch, because it's been, when Trestman was here, it was very lazy and it wasn't held accountable. The running backs, Matt Forte, did not carry out fakes and help his quarterback off action game. Last year, we saw Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey really understand the importance of it. There were several plays with which I know both running backs, but one play particularly is Cutler ran a read option, pulled. Carey just did an excellent fake and was able to give Cutler the edge against the Rams, where he took it around, and I tweeted out the play where he runs for like 35 yards, Cutler does. Those types of little things that Brian's talking about are important, and he makes the great emphasis on them and watching them come game time.
And certainly those little things, like you mentioned, are going to be huge at every position as far as special teams, and coaches are going to be meticulously watching for every little detail that every player does, to really start to determine how the bottom of this roster is going to shake down as the preseason continues.